This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, another busy show for you. We're going to hear from candidate for Attorney General Rodney Glassman, plus Glenn Leist will give us a market update. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. I hope you're having a great day. I think it's like a red flag warning out there with the wind and the dryness. I have a couple of news items I want to get to here in the beginning of the program, including the drought and extreme droughts that the weather folks have just put a report out on, which I don't know if we really need a report. We see it. We know what's going on, and it's dry, and we've got a long way to go to hopefully, we'll pray to the pray to the rain gods, monsoons. Hopefully we get to the monsoons and then we have a good monsoon, right? We shall see, though. You never know. I'd love your thoughts. I'd love you to chime in, be part of the program. My plan is to bring in Olivia here in a little while later on in the program to hopefully read some of your email comments after we talk with candidate for Attorney General Rodney Glassman here this hour. In the second hour of the show, Glenn Leist is coming in. He visits us every 2 weeks. And we are going to talk, I think, heavily about inflation and the cost of everything just skyrocketing a lot more than I think they realized. But we all realize it, so we'll break that all down for you. Send a comment, though. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And our comments, email and our comment line, our listener line is brought to you by Just Wireless, Great Northern Arizona company where you can get your smartphone repaired and fixed rather than spending money. Save that money because it's getting eaten up with that extra gas cost. So visit one of Just Wireless's two locations in Flagstaff, Crescent and Flagstaff Mall, and also in West Flagstaff on Milton Avenue. You can visit them there as well. You can leave a comment, by the way, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. All right, let's get to some of my news picks to start off with before we get to Rodney Glassman and Glenn Leist. I don't know if this is a news pick. This is more of a, I'm going to do a little bit of a rant here to start off with. I've never seen anything so absurd in my life as what we're seeing here in our country right now. And the fact that I even have to discuss this is absurd. And I won't debate this issue. You know, if someone wants to come up to me and debate small government versus big government, or even abortion, pro-abortion, pro-life. I'll have that debate, and I'll talk to you all day long. Or talk about the Federal Reserve printing a bunch of money, or talk about anything, basically any topic I'm pretty open to. The existence of aliens. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm open to having a lively debate and discussion anytime. But I draw the line at having a lively debate and discussion about pregnant men. I mean, are we seriously at this point in our country where there is a lot of people that think that there are pregnant men? There are no pregnant men. I don't know how else to say this. And I see it all over the place. There's a House committee meeting the other day, and a witness, they could not answer the questions about, who should get an abortion and if a man can get an abortion. And then yesterday on the program, let me pull this one up. I told you about I'll just paraphrase it, but it was basically abortions aren't just for pregnant women. This was like a high school kid protesting in front of Flagstaff City Hall. I guess the point I'm trying to make is I can't believe that we're even having this discussion, and I'm even having to spend airtime to bring this issue up. If this was brought up even a year ago, it would have been absurdity. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they probably would have put you in a nut house. And it goes on and on. I mean, here's an article from Fox News. Despite use of term birthing person, no data forthcoming on how many trans men give birth. Researchers at the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law estimated in 2016 there are 1.4 million transgender people in the U.S. Okay. Federal government and elected leaders have ushered in inclusive language such as birthing person as opposed to pregnant woman or mother. This just happened this year. They stuck it in all their language. The Biden administration replaced the word mothers to birthing people in 2022 fiscal year budget. It's what they claim is a push to be more inclusive when referring to mothers. And it's also being embraced by top corporations, with Apple unveiling, this was the kind of the crux of it here when this came out. Apple unveiled the pregnant man emoji last month. You remember that? And I was picking on that right away. Elon Musk picked on it. He said that Bill Gates looks like the pregnant man emoji from Apple. But here we are having a discussion. This is just what I want to say. I'm not going to have a debate with you as to who can get pregnant. Women get pregnant. Men do not. Period. Done. End of discussion. It's absurd. It's absurdity at a whole new level. I hope that the absurdity is oozing over so much that people who are in the middle, people who aren't extreme leftist wackos, are finally waking up and saying, oh my God, what is going on here? This has gotten ridiculous. If we have to have a pregnant man debate in this country, and if this is the new thing, I'm losing hope here. But I do have some hope that it's so absurd that people are going to be like, nah, I'm not going there. Anyway, I'd love your thoughts. I just had to get that out there because I'm reading all these articles, and it just had to get it off my chest right away because I can't even fathom we're having this discussion in this country, and there's people that just can't say and just firmly say, yes, women get pregnant. Send me an email. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. If you're a pregnant man, I'd like to hear from you too. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Let's get to a few news items here before we get to Rodney Glassman and then Glenn Least. There's a stand down happening, by the way. And let me zoom in on this a little bit. This is the, let me get my screen to cooperate here. It's not going to work for me. Okay, here we go. This is the, 10th annual High Country Stand Down in memory of Lance C. Davison, U.S. Marine Corps. What it does is it connects homeless veterans, at-risk veterans, all veterans and their families with the essential community services that they need. They will do things like VA enrollment, VA services, VA mobile vet center. There's clothing and surplus. There's disability, pension, survivors benefits, all of that. Basically anything you need. There's even veterans court, which Coconino County and City of Flagstaff, help out with. So if you need veterans court, you can contact Sharon Yates, 928-679-7514. And you can also get event information about the stand down coming up. And let me get you the date here. May 20th, Friday, May 20th. So it's coming up tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I don't know, just reading those at the Flagstaff Armory. Flagstaff Armory tomorrow, May 20th, if you're listening to the podcast, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you want event information, if you're a veteran out there and you need some of these services, you need some help, this is great that they do this every year. Here's the number one more time, 928-286-7446. 928-286-7446. The 10th annual, High Country Stand Down, and this is in memory of Lance C. Davison in the U.S. Marine Corps. So please, if you need help, call that number. One more time, 928-286-7446. Let's see, a report came out from the NOAA regarding where we're at in the state, in the country, really, as far as drought. And this is no surprise. I have the map up on my screen. Very high country around Flagstaff is abnormally dry. We all know that. But they're not in the worst shape in the state. Pretty much the big swath of the middle of the state, Verde Valley, down into Phoenix area, that whole middle part of the state is in a moderate drought right now. The rest of the state is an extreme drought. And severe drought. And then some parts of the state, especially the northwest corner of the state, is so bad. It's an exceptional drought. So it's just no end in sight here, according to this report from NOAA. And we'll just hope we get that to the monsoons as quickly as possible. I know there's a, Wind advisory today going on. So please remember, no fires out there anywhere. Not allowed. There's all kinds of fire restrictions. Another one that came out here, this one from Coconino County, and I had a friend of mine who said he got this thing. Apparently the norovirus is making its round and getting increased reports of possible norovirus. And the county's put out a precaution on this thing. I don't know, maybe we'll all be masking up again for a norovirus. But I guess this is like the stomach bug. Usually they call it the stomach flu, but I was reading the county report, and they said this is not the flu. This is a virus. It's called norovirus, and you're not going to be doing too good. Stomach bug type thing. So that be aware, that one is really icky. See, that one, I worry about those. I hate those more than even when I got COVID or the flu, when those stomach bugs. I'm a big baby when it comes to those things. Let's see. Governor Ducey joined the American Enterprise Institute recently for a thoughtful conversation on Arizona's leadership in school choice and efforts to close the learning gap. He also discussed education policy during the pandemic. What all the mistakes they made, and how we were have to force our kids to mask up. I know he didn't have a mask mandate, but he vetoed bills last year that could have gotten these kids out of the masks quicker. But Governor Ducey was out there touting this thing and the great job, I guess, he did in education. I'd like to see more. If we do a good job in education, we would have full school choice going on right now where you would have a backpack of money that follows you and follows your kid to whatever school they want. Then we can have a serious discussion. Then let's have that roundtable, Governor. And we can talk about how great Arizona is very good with schools when it comes to school choice. But let's make it better. I don't know if I would be touting what we did during the coronavirus mania that went on. Hey, by the way, as far as candidates for governor, we've got another one coming up here soon. Karen Taylor Robeson, we're going to have her on the program real soon. So that'll be all of the Republican candidates for governor who will have gotten through the program. And by the way, we have a section on the website, Election 2022. Click on that. Go to talkwithjeff.com, and you click on that, and you get all of the interviews that we've had so far, all the candidates that are making their way through. Election2022.com. Go to talkwithjeff.com and click on that link. Okay, sponsor, before we get to Rodney Glassman coming up here after the break, candidate for Attorney General, Namarco's Pizza. Why not go get a great pizza? This is the best pizza in Northern Arizona, or as Olivia says, she says it's the best pizza in Arizona, period. It's good stuff. They've got great wings. They've got craft beers. They do wine by the glass and bottle. They have lunch specials Monday through Friday from 11 to 2. And it's not just like you get a couple slices or a couple choices as far as the toppings on your slices. They have a wide variety of slices. Great lunch special, great price still. Check out their wings. Excellent wings. At Namarco's Pizza. Three locations in Flagstaff, spread around the Flagstaff area, so it's super convenient. You can go to their Milton Avenue location, their downtown location, or in East Flagstaff over there near the Flagstaff Mall. Go to namarcospizza.com. You can order right there, N-I-M-A-R-C-O-S, namarcospizza.com, or call 928-779-0024. That's 928-779-0024. Get that curbside pickup, or they'll also do delivery. All right. Still to come, Rodney Glassman will come back with that. Then Glenn Leese will give us a market update in the second hour. Stick around. Back in a few. Jeff Horvitz here, and I've got some office space available for you at flagstafforlease.com. Office suites start at $499. I also have a larger six-room suite available for about $1,600 and other configurations up to 6,000 square feet and all points in between. Give me a call at 928-526-7909. That's 928-526-7909, or go to flagstaff4lease.com. That's flagstafforlease.com. All right, welcome back. In just a second, we're going to talk with Rodney Glassman, who is running to be Arizona's next attorney general. A lot of information here coming up, so stick around. I do want to mention, I always tell you, hey, support our sponsors. They support this show, and they also support the local economies. And you know, Timberline Firearms and Training is not only a great longtime sponsor of the program, but an important business in the community because they have great training when it comes to firearms. And you know Rob Wilson, he does an excellent job out there at Timberline Firearms and Training. Give them a call right now. Take advantage of their first shots program or their intermediate handgun training. They have training courses all the way up to expert level. Call them right now at 928-526-7900. 928-526-7900. Book a training course. Also, take advantage of their free Stop the Bleed training that happens once a month. And it is Thursday, which means it's Ladies' Day going on right now. $10. That's nothing nowadays with inflation, right? $10 gets you lane time plus one free gun rental so you can try it before you buy it, which is really important. Go check out Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, or you can go to Timberline Firearms. I lost the site here. I got it. TimberlineFirearms.us. That's TimberlineFirearms.us. Okay, let's welcome back to the program. He's running to be Arizona's next attorney general in the Republican primary, which is rapidly approaching. Rodney Glassman. I mean, this thing's coming up. Those ballots going out like July 6th, Rodney, and the election is August 2nd, so not a lot of time left. How you doing? How have you been?
Doing great, Jeff. I really appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to earning the support of your listeners.
Yeah, so why don't you explain, first of all, what the job is? And we've done this in the past, but I always assume there's new folks listening, and you know maybe they forgot about this. But what's the attorney general's position? What are you supposed to do if you get in there?
Well, Jeff, as you know, I'm Rodney Glassman. I'm an Air Force prosecutor. I've prosecuted drug dealers and financial crimes and protected victims of sexual assault. I'm now a major in the United States Air Force JAG Corps on the reserve side, assigned to the active duty units. And I'm also a private practicing attorney in Phoenix at the law firm of Buth, Gilbert, McGroder. And frankly, I'm running for attorney general because I know the job of the attorney general is to protect Arizonans from the government. As you know, Jeff, you know, the attorney general is not the governor for the attorney. The governor gets his own attorneys and not the attorney for the state legislature because they get their own attorneys too.
Yeah.
The attorney general by statute is the people's attorney. And so what we're going through right now is candidly nothing more than a six-person Republican primary that's a job interview for Arizonans, for your listeners, to hire their attorney.
How does this work out? Because a lot of complaints I had, Rodney, especially during COVID, is what's going on here to protect me, to protect my personal business? I'm talking about and you said, hey, the job of the attorney general's office is to protect people, and presumably businesses too, from government actions. And I remember when governments were ordered or businesses were ordered to be shut down by governments. And I was like, where's that massive defense against this unconstitutional action? I remember the eviction moratorium, the residential eviction moratorium, which ultimately the Supreme Court ruled on the federal side they couldn't do it. But here on the state, the governor issued an eviction moratorium. The governor issued a commercial eviction moratorium. And I just don't feel like there's a lot of action done to protect me from the government in the past 2.5 years.
No, you're 100% right. I am a conservative Republican fighter. And that's how I will serve and fight as the attorney general. You know, the AG is the only person with immediate standing to tell the president when he's failing to enforce immigration laws. No, when the governor is signing illegal executive orders to shut down businesses and churches. No, when city councils across the state are trying to defund the police and strip away qualified immunity. No, and when local school boards are trying to, you know, push critical race theory and mask mandates instead of teaching English, writing, and math. It's the attorney general that is our tip of the spear. And Jeff, we live in trying times. I mean, the number one issue, as you know, facing Arizona is illegal immigration. Now, my wife and I, we graduated from law school down at the U of A in the late 2000s. And our federal laws were the same then as they are today. If you come here illegally, you're supposed to be arrested, incarcerated, and barred. But we now live in a country where if you come here illegally, Joe Biden rents you hotel rooms in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
And the attorney general needs to keep the federal government's feet to the fire, but our attorney general should also be working with our state legislature when the federal government lets us down to write and pass Arizona laws that allow our local law enforcement to arrest, incarcerate, and deport. And then it's our attorney general, remember, our lawyer, that's the person that will go back to Washington, D.C. and defend our Arizona immigration laws in front of our new Trump-appointed United States Supreme Court. And then it's our attorney general that comes home again and enforces those laws as the chief law enforcement officer. And I'm proud, Jeff, because in a six-way Republican primary, there's been 8 law enforcement association endorsements, 8 boots on the ground associations across the state that have endorsed in our six-way Republican primary. And I have received all 8 law enforcement endorsements from across the state, including the Flagstaff Law Enforcement Association, because I'm the person that the police want protecting them as their attorney.
Let's get into the law enforcement and police side here in a second, though. But and folks, we're talking with Rodney Glassman, who is running to be Arizona's next attorney general. I want to loop back because there's a lot on the border and this invasion that's been going on. And you see some action, like Texas was saying, we're going to bus people to Washington, D.C. But you don't see action from the governors, really. Or at least I haven't seen much in Arizona other than photo op at the incomplete wall down at the border while people came through. And I've said this a lot. I don't see governors who stand up to the feds and say, we're going to take action in our own state. I don't see them being arrested by, you know, Biden's people or anything like that. I mean, you have the real power, is what I'm saying, to actually make change, to stand up as a state and states' rights issues to say enough is enough with the border. I think you do. Although it should be the Fed's job to do this. But Rodney, what would you do if you're there and the Feds still are not taking action? Biden's still not taking action and this continues on. What are the steps?
So step number one is we have to build the wall. And it takes an attorney general, whether the governor's plan is a 20-mile wall or a 100-mile wall or, frankly, a wall that goes across the southern border and even, you know, cuts off California. The reality is it takes the attorney general, whether it comes to land use, whether it comes to procurement, whether it comes to the registrar of contractors, it's going to take the attorney general's office, because the attorney general runs the largest law office in the state. It's 425 attorneys and 800 support staff, Jeff. The largest law office in the state. And of the 6 Republicans running, I'm the only one that's actually ran a law office. Every time I put my Air Force uniform on, whether it's to go to Luke Air Force Base or Goodfellow Air Force Base in West Texas, I am the acting staff judge advocate, the head attorney reporting to the active duty commanders. And that's critical because this is a big job. And just like you're talking about, whether it's a governor that wants to build a wall or a legislature that needs their laws that they pass regarding local law enforcement enforcing the laws, you know, arresting, incarcerating, and deporting. I mean, we are under invasion as a state, so we need to start by building the wall to cut off that stream of illegal people coming to our country. But we also need to have accountability and consequences when people do break the law. And illegal immigration doesn't just stop at the border. There's 6 Republicans running, and 2 of them, their claim to fame, though they've never ran a law office, is that they live near the border. Well, as you know, illegal immigration doesn't stop at the border. It's everywhere. You know, just in December, 1.7 million fentanyl pills were seized in Scottsdale. And so these drugs are everywhere. The crime is everywhere. And illegal immigration impacts our schools. It impacts our hospitals. It impacts our public safety. And that's why we need a conservative Republican fighter to enforce the laws, to help pass new laws, and cut off the flow. And that's why I'd love your listeners to visit my website. It's rodneyglassman.com, so I can earn their vote, because this is the most important election in 2022 is going to be our attorney general.
I agree with you there. And I've known, Rodney, I've known you for years, and we need somebody to fight in there. I am concerned, though, that I haven't seen that happening. I hope it happens, because the feds are not going to do it unless, look, in 2020, this year, I think Congress, I think the House, the Senate will flip over and we'll be able to stop some of the craziness that's going on. But obviously the presidency will not until 2024. So you get in there in, what, January or something of 2023. You got a good 2 years. we really need a legislature and then the governor's side, and we're bringing in all these candidates, or most of them from the governor's side, to take action on a statewide basis and to say, feds, you've failed. We're going to do it. So will you defend those laws? If the legislature and the governor come out and say, I'm just going to deport people. I don't care. Would you defend that, that practice in Arizona?
Arizona is under an invasion. We have to pass Arizona laws that allow local law enforcement to arrest, incarcerate, and deport. And then as the Republican Attorney General, I will be the person defending those laws in front of the new Trump-appointed Supreme Court. Yes, that is the job, to help build the wall, to help secure our border, to help stop the flow of illegals. And the reality is that the Attorney General is the hub of the wheel when it comes to getting all of that done, Jeff. And that's why it's so important that we have someone who's ran a law office, someone who could tell you the name of their last three paying clients. I'm the only Republican in a six-way Republican primary that can tell you the name of the last three people that hired me to be their attorney. We can't afford someone that spent a career in government calling balls and strikes. We can't afford someone that just wants to do the job. Arizonans deserve the quality of attorney that they would hire to protect their families and protect their business, because that is exactly what this is. And that's why we're going to be asking everyone to vote Rodney Glassman in this Republican primary.
All right, don't go anywhere. More with Rodney Glassman when we come back. Hang tight, back in a minute. With rising interest rates, it requires more expertise to sell your home than it did last year. Jeff Horvitz here, and if you're not in the entry-level market, don't expect to just slap your home on the MLS for bidding wars. That's why I recommend you talk to Kelly Broaddus, who's in the top 2% of all realtors in the nation. Unless you're in a few golden areas, don't expect 10 to 12 offers. However, with Kelly, you'll probably get more than one and at a good price. Now more than ever, it really does matter who you list your home with. Don't put your home on the market without talking to Kelly Broaddus. Call Kelly at 928-606-6749 or visit northernarizonafinehomes.com for an instant market report, including comparables on your home. See why Kelly is one of the top realtors in the nation. Call 928-606-6749. Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors, 928-606-6749. We'll get back to candidate for Arizona Attorney General Rodney Glassman here in just a second. You know, inflation's at its highest level since, what, 1981? And that's if you believe those numbers. It's really at its highest. If you adjust it to the way they used to calculate inflation, it's much higher than that. It's been, this is huge inflation going on right now. A lot of people are turning to what's traditionally been an inflationary hedge. I don't give financial advice, but I can tell you personally, I like to own a little bit of gold and silver. I like precious metals. And, you know, gold's historically been a safe haven asset. It's been around for a long time, right? I like working with the best. And, you know, Justin at Desert Gold Exchange, his company, his family, they keep their overhead very low and they pass those savings on to you. Call Justin at Desert Gold Exchange right now. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Please support our sponsors. If you're out there buying gold and silver, hey, support someone who's supporting us. And Desert Gold Exchange is that company. Call Justin at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Get a free investor's kit, and it's really helpful. Also, you can talk about getting physical gold and silver delivered in as little as 72 hours. Call Justin at Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. All right, folks, we are talking with Rodney Glassman, who's running for the position of Attorney General here in Arizona, the Republican primary rapidly coming up. Rodney, you've made really kind of a cornerstone of your campaign, and law enforcement has had a tough go the past several years. I mean, it's been atrocious, some of the things that have happened. We see a world and we see our country that has fallen further and further, especially the coastal states, the left leaning, the left coast. It's gone crazy in a lot of places with the crime. You've made protecting law enforcement and law enforcement kind of the cornerstone of your campaign. Talk about that a bit, Rodney.
Well, Jeff, as you know, like President Reagan, like President Trump, I used to be a Democrat. You know, I made the change over 7 years ago now when Donald Trump got into the race for president, because I knew we had to build the wall. I knew we had to secure our border. And Democrats were, frankly, more focused on radical socialist policies than they were creating jobs or standing with law enforcement. You know, my wife and I, we now have two little girls. They're 11 and 9. And when we call 911, we want a police officer to come, not a counselor.
Not a social worker. You don't want them to come talk you to
no, and you
talk the criminal
the
to death.
You look across the state, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's Tucson, whether, you know, probably in northern Arizona too, where mayors and councils are trying to defund the police. They're also trying to strip away what's called qualified immunity. And if your listeners aren't familiar, qualified immunity is the legal precedent, meaning that one judge can change their mind and it goes away. But it's the legal precedent that allows our police officers to make split-second decisions to protect our homes without being worried about being sued civilly for theirs, as long as they're following the rules. And as the only Republican attorney general candidate that's going to fight for police, I can tell you that's why I'm championing the codification of qualified immunity at the state legislature, so it can be the law, so that those that wake up every morning and risk their lives not knowing if they're coming home can make those kinds of split second decisions. And Jeff, in a six-way primary, every candidate's going to say that they're going to, quote, support the police or protect the police. But the more important question that I always remind people to ask is, who do the police want protecting them? And in this race, it's perfectly clear. The Flagstaff Law Enforcement Association, the Prescott police officers, El Mirage down in the valley, which is a hub of cartel activity, the Phoenix Police Sergeants and Lieutenants Association, the Chandler Lieutenants and Sergeants Association, even the Arizona Corrections Officers, which is a statewide group, all of those law enforcement associations, the men and women boots on the ground, all eight of them have endorsed my campaign for attorney general because I'm the one that they want protecting them from the government too.
Rodney, do you, we've seen the issues in California with local prosecutors and even a statewide, and this is happening in multiple states where, okay, you steal something, it's $999, no big deal. And we've just seen rampant crime pick up in all these places. Is there a push away from, are they even waking up at this point, or is it going to be, people are going to massively move as they have been to places like Arizona and Texas and Florida and South Dakota, you name it, to get away from this stuff because the ship is sunk. Can we protect that here in Arizona from the onslaught of people that are moving here and really changing Arizona? What do you see in the future?
Well, Jeff, I urge your listeners to visit my website. It's rodneyglassman.com, and they can read the piece that I wrote on qualified immunity, and because it's critical, and I wrote it with the president of the Glendale Law Enforcement Association, because the issue you're talking about, people coming from other places, is so important because they leave California because they don't like it there. They don't like what it's turning into.
Yeah.
But then if they're not reminded of that when they get here and what's important, which is protecting our police, they may vote the same way they did in California. And that's why it's so important for our law enforcement to have an attorney general. Remember, the top cop. I'm going to be the top cop, the chief law enforcement officer, that reminds families across the state how important our police officers are, how our law enforcement officers risk their lives every day. You think about it, and our kids are a little bit younger than yours, but think about it. Families across Arizona have sat around the kitchen table in the past 2 years. They've talked about masks. They've talked about COVID. They've been sent home information about human sexuality from schools. But when's the last time families in Arizona were asked to sit around the kitchen table with their kids and talk about our men and women in blue, the ones who wake up every morning and risk their lives to protect our families. And that's going to be a big part of my job as the Attorney General. It's going to be having police officers' backs so that when they're protecting us, they know they have their statewide elected Republican conservative Attorney General Rodney Glassman protecting them.
Now, Rodney, I mean, there are cases where a police officer does something egregiously wrong. I mean, we can all agree with that. Human beings, there's bad people everywhere, and it does happen from time to time. We have body cameras nowadays. Are you a supporter of that, the body cam for law enforcement?
I find it very disappointing that the amount of scrutiny that is placed upon our police officers every single day with the lack of support they're receiving from mayors and councils across the state, while at the same time, those same employers aren't championing them, aren't keeping them safe, aren't talking about the importance of their roles.
Transparency
is a good thing, Jeff.
Okay, yeah.
But so is supporting your employees.
Well, yeah.
And that's the biggest challenge. When's the last time you heard a mayor say that?
No, I hear you on that. I'm just saying that there are times when something is wrong, and you would go after in that situation if that happened. I mean, not everybody.
Oh, most certainly. Okay. Most certainly. Thank you. It is about pursuing bad actors.
Okay.
It's about protecting the good ones, and it's making sure that we hold up our local law enforcement as one of the noblest professions, keeping our community safe.
Exactly. And where I'm going with this, and we're talking with Rodney Glassman, folks, is I at Timberline Firearms and Training, they have a simulation of a police shooting, and a suspect does something so quick and you have just an instant to respond. It's something that everybody should go take and participate in, because you will realize that how quickly and in a split second they have to make a decision. And we've seen life and death happen where somebody didn't react quick enough, and these criminals can kill. They have killed our law enforcement. My point being is, we're asking people, our law enforcement, to make split decisions, second decisions to protect us. And sometimes it can go wrong, but they're in these situations that are life and death every single day. And I just want to clarify that, hey, if somebody does something wrong and it's egregious, yeah, but when you're talking split second decisions, I keep getting that wrong, they have to make that decision, and you have to give them the benefit of the doubt most times.
Well, and Jeff, to that point, that's why it's really would be wonderful for everyone to visit the website, rodneyglassman.com, and read the piece at the bottom of the page about qualified immunity.
Okay.
And the importance of making sure that when police officers are following the rules, that's the qualifier.
Yeah.
When they're following the rules, making split-second decisions to protect our homes, they needn't worry about getting sued civilly for theirs. And that's why this qualified immunity is truly one of the biggest issues facing law enforcement. And I'd love to take you up on that offer to come up in that.
We should go to Timberline. Yeah.
Participate in that with Timberline.
Everybody should
invite. Well, and we should invite the members of the Flagstaff Law Enforcement Association, because they have support. They are supporting my candidacy. I am the Republican for Attorney General that they want protecting them. And it would be a great way to bring the community together
that would be
and
good.
Support business and your station.
And Rob at Timberline, he's had people out there who have been prosecuting this stuff. He's invited them out there to say, hey, I want you to see what split second decisions these folks actually have to make through these simulations. And that's a simulation. And I could tell you I did some crazy things in that simulation, because, I'm like, oh, my God, you're trying to identify all this stuff that's happening in an instant. So, all right, Rodney, elections coming up real quick. This is one of the most important, if not the most important positions in Arizona, in the country right now, especially when we're having to fight. I think one of the biggest issues is federal overreach. And we need to stand up for states' rights. And from what I'm hearing, you're gonna do that. I think all candidates are saying that, though.
Everyone's saying that.
I hope that they actually follow through, though.
I always suggest to everyone, when you're interviewing a candidate to be your attorney general, ask them a few questions. Number one, yes or no, have you ever ran a law office, where every lawyer, every paralegal, every support staff reports to you? The only person in the six-way primary that can say yes is me. Number two, tell me the name of your last three clients, paying clients, because I think that's important. We deserve the kind of attorney fighting for us that others have hired to fight for them. I'm the only candidate that can list the last three paying clients I had in the past 20 years. And then lastly, and it's an important question because this is a partisan office where you fight to protect against government overreach. And so we need a conservative Republican fighter as our attorney general. The last question, yes or no, did you write a check? Did you raise money to keep Joe Biden out of the White House? And once again, Jeff, the reality is, the sad reality is, in a six-way Republican primary, only one of us cared enough about reelecting a Republican president that we supported and fought against Joe Biden. And so those are the three litmus tests that I ask listeners to consider when you're hiring the attorney whose job it is to protect you from the government. And I look forward to earning everyone's support.
All right, Rodney, appreciate it. We'll try to get you back on before this primary. Go ahead and hit the trail, and we'll take you up on that offer when you come up here to Northern Arizona. We'll get you out there for that active shooter training at Timberline. Appreciate it. Best to you.
Thanks a ton, Jeff.
All right, if you've got any comments, go ahead and email those in. Just Wireless sponsored our email, and I would love to hear from you. Send me an email. Here it is, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Hey, if you're in the market right now for blinds, shutters, or shades, I want you to work with the best, and I want you to work with an Arizona company, not some 800 number where who knows where you're calling or some weird website. And why not support local companies that bring jobs to our communities and that support this show? And the Blind Brothers is that company, theblindbrothers.com. Or if you call them at 928-634-2423. When you talk to them, they're going to lay out all your options for your blinds, your shutters and shades, not just the most expensive ones, which is really important nowadays, right, with inflation and the cost of everything. And if you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, please mention the show, because that that helps us out, and it helps them out in knowing that it's working for them. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. You can get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. Do yourself a favor. Do your neighbors a favor. Do me a favor. Do your community a favor, and go to these local Northern Arizona businesses like the Blind Brothers and give them a call right now. 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Or you can go to theblindbrothers.com. Okay, second half of the show coming up here before you know it, so stick around. Glenn Least will join us from WT Wealth Management with his he comes on every 2 weeks, gives us a market update. I have a feeling inflation is going to be a big part of our discussion, so stick around. And like I said, if you got a comment, I'd love to hear from you. Send an email right now, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Back in a few.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right. I'm sure inflation will be a big topic coming up here in the second hour. We're going to talk with Glenn Least. Another hour of the show starts now. Welcome back to another hour of the show. Jeff Horvitz here, coming up in just a second. Talk with Glenn Least. He comes by every 2 weeks to give us a market update, but I think we're going to hit heavily on inflation and how it's really impacting everything from personal level to the corporate level. It's affecting us in ways that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. Some of us saw it coming with all the money that they pumped into the economy and told people to stay home, and all the production problems around the world. Seems pretty predictable to me, but here we are. So we'll get to that. Plus, then I'll try to get Olivia in here for the last segment and get to some of your comments. So you still got time to get those in. You can email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. You can also send a or leave a message on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. And Just Wireless, great longtime sponsor here on the program. Thank you to them for being a sponsor. And please, when you go to Just Wireless, mention you heard about them here on the show. That what they do is they fix your smartphone. They'll fix your existing smartphone. You don't have to spend the money to go on out there or to go on and buy a new phone. So saving money is huge right now because you probably got to spend the extra money on all the inflation and on the gas. Save your money. You need, right? Glenn's here with me, Glenn Least. You need that now with all the inflation going on.
I'm going to give Zach a plug. I worked for him for about a couple of years ago.
Yeah, great guy. I think you mentioned that in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. Go support your local business. Zach is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Support our sponsors and let them know when you're in there that you heard it on the show. That helps all of us. And yeah, you're not sending your phone off somewhere or buying a new, what's an iPhone cost now? You know, or I won't pick, let me go.
Mortgage payment.
It's like four mortgage payments.
Yeah,
I don't know about
that. I didn't want to know what my phone cost. It was absurd. Yeah,
yeah, it is getting ridiculous. Yeah. This inflation issue is, look, I knew this was going to be big, Glenn.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time talking about this when they said it was transitory. It can't be transitory when you pump $11 trillion into the economy, when you tell people to stay home and not produce goods and services,
uh-huh,
and it's escalating. I mean, the numbers dropped a little bit last month, the government numbers, from 8.5% to 8.3%. Big deal.
Uh-huh.
But we know it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Now you see China with crazy lockdowns. Now you see COVID numbers spiking in states. So, you know, what happens going down the road? You see, what was oil? Oil topped at like 114 recently.
Yeah, went back up.
How do we fix it? How do we fix inflation? I mean, if you were at the Federal Reserve, or you were one of these policymakers, or someone in Congress that's leaning on the Federal Reserve, what do you do?
So I'll give you a straight answer, but I was listening to the press secretary the other day, and they asked that same question, and she could not give a straight answer on it.
Yeah.
You know what won't help? Raising taxes on corporations. That was the question they had asked the current new press secretary, is how is raising taxes on corporations supposed to fix inflation? The answer is it won't. It actually makes it worse, because if you just raise the costs of taxes, those corporations then just, you know, pass it along to the consumer. So how do you fix inflation? One is you don't print a ton of money, right? You just don't print a ton of money of out of nowhere, $8 trillion, and expect, you know, the value of your dollar to stay, you know, afloat. It's going to go down. So that's one, is you can't just keep printing money. You need to be more fiscally responsible, and then you need to drive economic growth. I mean, we talked about everyone's incentivized now to just, for one reason or another, not produce. And it's really kind of strange. I mean, we talk about this even in our office, that finding good, hardworking people that are young, that want to work, is hard. It's hard to come by. I mean, everyone's just, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, incentivized to maybe not be as ambitious. And that's not a blanket statement, but I see that persisting in certain, you know, states are making it harder to be ambitious, for sure.
And you've got a coworker here.
Yeah, Cody Harmon.
Cody?
Yeah.
You're younger. I mean, you're pretty young.
Yes,
me and Glenn are getting old. Here, pull that a little bit closer. What's going on with your generation? Can you give us some insight? Because I'm going to guess you're in your early 20s.
Well, it's honestly kind of crazy. I know some people that are they just don't want to work. Those stimulus checks that came up a few years ago, it's just, they feel like they just expect the money just going to keep coming forward from the government. They were riding more on that, and they maybe just became more lazier, and they just don't want to work anymore and want to more depend on the government more.
Get the stimmy checks coming, keep those coming. See, that's why I think there are people like Cody who are out there working. Hey, I'm going to do what I got to do, and I want to learn. You did that, Glenn. I did that. Uh-huh. There's plenty that do it, but there's so many more that, well, a stimmy check will come. Or if it gets really tough, the government will do universal basic income. That's going to be the thing. They're going to say, Cody, here's your $1,000 a month. Go out and buy some whatever.
You know, there's a, you know, in the Bible, it talks about how if you don't work, you don't eat, right? And that's one of the concepts. But I think that really, you know, that particular passage was talking about, they had a problem within a community of young, able-bodied men just refusing to work. They were just being lazy. They didn't want to work. They could work, but they decided to let someone else.
This has happened before, Glenn.
This has happened before, surprisingly or not. And so they basically said, hey, if you're not working and you can work, then you don't get to eat. And so I think our, you know, we have this weird mantra moving forward in our nation where people somehow think that they can still eat and rely off of others when they should be able to work. I mean, it's a different situation if you can't work or if you're injured or mitigating circumstances. I 100% have compassion on that. But for those that are able-bodied and don't want to work just out of sheer laziness, I'm like, sure, wouldn't we all like to be lazy? That would be great. But that's not how reality works. You have to work and contribute. That's how this world works.
So, okay, yeah. I want to loop back to some of the stuff you're saying, yeah. Glenn. And Glenn Lease is with us. Cody is with us as well. The attitude, though, is that I always have that fallback. I always have that safety net. I was looking at some of the things when it comes to free rent. Now you can get reduced internet service. You can get, food stamps. You can get WIC. Look, we got the baby formula. Yeah. Disaster right now. And I was shocked to learn that the government was Department of Agriculture, whoever hands out the WIC, does the women, infant, you know, the yeah. milk and the baby formula. They're controlling like 60% of the supply. I'm like, how did we ever get to a point where the government is doling out that much to feed our babies? Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's a supply chain snafu, which was largely created by the government shutting down a plant without thinking what's going to happen here to the baby formula manufacturing. How did we get to this point and how do we pull it back without there being massive civil unrest? I mean, if you pull away all the free, this country is going to go berserk. I talk about this with Bruce Sidlinger a lot, the Depression, you know, that era, and where people lost everything. Literally, they wouldn't eat if they didn't go out and try to figure out a way to get it. There wasn't that safety net. And he always says, we had there was a different American back then, kinder. They handled things a little different. I think it'd fall apart. It would be, there'd be revolution in the streets if they pull all this stuff away now.
I think there needs to be a perspective shift, right?
Yeah.
We use that word free rent. You know, that's a misnomer because it's not really free. Someone else is paying for it.
Yeah.
You know, all these programs that are free and reduce XYZ, you know, they're coming at the cost of some other taxpayer. And even free college tuition, people say, oh, we should get free education. You're like, well, it's not really free. Some, you know, free healthcare, that's got to be paid somewhere. And so we just need to change our mindset of there's no such thing as a free lunch in this world, right? We can't have that perspective of everyone else will do it and everyone else will pay for it, because that's really not fair, because you end up having a scenario where you have very productive members of the society that are pulling a lot of weight, and they may just say, you know what, I'm tired of pulling this, you know, inordinate amount of weight, you know, that's not fair for me. I mean, so you talk about taxing the rich. They say, oh, they need to pay their fair share. Well, what does fair share mean? I mean, is 10%? Is
99.9% apparently, yeah.
Yeah, and Ronald Reagan had talked about, you know, when he was an actor, when they started raising rates, I think he got to a certain point where it's like, it just didn't make sense for him to work after a certain point. So you actually had hampered productivity because of tax rates just being so high. So you never want to have a policy that discourages production and economic activity. I think that is just the wrong way to look at it.
Well, that's the problem. And when I was looking at some of these programs, because they have the new internet program where you can get broadband for $30, because everybody just deserves broadband nowadays. But I look at my bill and I think it's $100 or something like that. It's like, okay, so somebody's getting a 70% discount. I mean, let me do the abacus here.
Sure.
And somebody else has to pay for that. Uh-huh. But you look at the threshold, so it was, don't quote me on this, but like if you made under $65,000 a year or something like that for a lot of these programs. So if I get to $64,500, Glenn, and I want to stay on all these programs, and I say, wait a second, if I make $500 more, I lose $70 worth of internet a month, so multiply that by 12 months, but I also lose $1,000 a month in rent. I lose $300 in food stamps. So there is this disincentive that exists in this country. Yeah. I don't see it ending, though, because so many people are reliant on it. That's the challenge we have as a country.
Yeah, and to people's credit, people know this, and so when they're looking at their benefits that they may be getting, they're calculating it, because the way it works with wages is the more you earn, the more inherent stress and effort that it takes to get that, right? That's, I mean, let's be real here. That's how it works, right? The CEO that's making $500,000 a year, you know, is probably killing over from a heart attack at age 55 from the stress, and he probably has a broken family because he's always working all the time. So there, everything comes at a cost. Yeah. So
you know, five divorces. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
So that person that's making $64,000 saying, "Hey, I got this new job promotion, but it's going to require me to work nights and weekends and be gone from my family, yeah. and I only make a couple extra bucks per year, but I'm going to lose all these benefits." They may say, "It's just not worth it. It's not worth it to go to the next level." And I think that that is a disservice to us as trying to have a healthy, good economy where we're promoting people to be their best. I mean, you never want to have your kid just be average, right? And you want them always to be better, right? You're always encouraging yourself to, "Hey, I want to get better at what I do." So to say, "I just want to reach this level and don't ever want to get better," yeah, I think it's like you reach a certain level, you just start treading water. I mean, that can be really hard for us, you know, because we're, you know, we should be getting better and improving ourselves. So,
well, I'm just going to become a chicken farmer, Glenn. Just a couple hundred chickens.
Yeah.
You know, just walk around tending the chickens.
You only need so many eggs.
Somebody will try to. Yeah, I know, but somebody will try. Yeah, it's going to have to be my food source. Somebody will just come try to steal a percentage of your chickens at that point.
You know, we were talking about raccoons the other day, so I had to.
Glenn's a big chicken guy like I am, too.
I got 20 of them now.
Yeah, he's more than me.
We had to get like an upgraded cage that the raccoons, because apparently the raccoons can reach through the fence and like they have like 7 or 8 inches they can grab the chicken and like try and pull them out.
Really?
So, yeah, you have to be careful with the raccoons. So,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So,
and so anyway, those eggs are like probably like $93 per egg by the time you really factor in all the cost.
The actual cost.
Now, it is pretty cool to get. I just wish people would become more self-reliant like that again. Look, during World War II, it's put in the Victory Garden. And I wonder if people will start doing more of this. Inflation's raging. I read this earlier in the week. Washington State was reprogramming their gas, the gas station, the pumps, so that it can do $10 and above.
Well, oh, yeah.
Did you see that? Yeah. Because right now it can't. This is like Y2K, you know, where's that extra digit coming from or whatever. So that's a little concerning. I was down in Phoenix and gas was well over $5. We had to get premium. We had the little Mini Cooper, which is great on gas, but you got to put premium in it. So it's $6. The diesel folks out there driving, you know, to supply our nation with all the goods and all the goods.
Yeah.
I mean, $5.50. What's it in California? Over $6, $7 in places.
Look, inflation is our number one economic issue right now. No one escapes it. It's going to affect everything that we do. Everyone. And so I think I've heard some people, you know, in the current administration say inflation only affects the rich people. And I think that that is very disingenuous, right? Because we know it affects everyone. The average household is an extra $400 or so per person.
At least.
And I actually know some friends that they decided to get an electric car because their gas bills was almost $1,000 a month. But even that itself, you know, they had to pony up quite a bit of extra cash to trade in the Tahoe for the Tesla. So it's not like it was an even trade. I mean, they had to dip quite a bit, but they had made that, you know, calculation in their head to say, wow, you know, it's going to cost us, you know, maybe an extra $20,000 plus the trade in. But we may say, you know, $1,000 a month.
I still don't know if it's there. Yeah.
I don't know because that math necessarily isn't great because I've heard that messaging too. Well, just go electric. Well, okay. Well, why didn't I think of that? I'll buy an $80,000 car to save $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that doesn't make
sense. And most people aren't spending that much. If you're spending $500 a month on gas, it would be a lot if you're commuting a lot, especially folks in Phoenix.
They were commuting.
So you do the math and you say, even at $10 a gallon, my used 2003 Tahoe, which still runs great, is better. Economically, I'm spending more on gas, but you want me to spend $40,000 on an electric car? It still doesn't make sense, although I'd like one.
We still see a lot of people driving. I mean, I haven't changed my driving habits.
That's what I noticed in Phoenix earlier in the week. I was down on Tuesday and I was like, why is there all this traffic? Don't these people like see the gas prices? And it just seemed as busy as ever before. I wonder, and we'll end with this, what is the breaking point where people say, you know, where Glenn is commuting or carpooling or riding one of his chickens in or whatever, you know, when is that breaking point when people say enough is enough and I got to change my lifestyle now?
So inflation is a very key metric for the success of a current administration, right? So if your administration has runaway awful inflation, you're going to have a very hard time convincing your constituents that you're being successful because it affects everything they do. They're, you know, going to have to start carpooling. They can't afford the food? And, you know, what is the breaking point? I think people are really going to have to reevaluate their elected officials and say, is this person going to help solve the problem, or are they going to make it worse with continuing to just be doing the same thing and ignoring our concerns? And so I think we're this next November election cycle and even beyond, I think we're going to see some changes here happen, because we have to. I mean, I told you this before, everyone sticks to their ideals and everything until they can't feed their family.
Yeah, yeah.
And they go, well, maybe this ideal or this political idea that I've bought into isn't working for me, and I need to feed my family, right?
Yeah. You know? Free stuff is great until they come tax you for the quote unquote free stuff for somebody else. Or, and it's, go back to the old saying, it's the economy, stupid. You know?
And it's easy to give other people's money away, but it's harder to have the same thing happen to you, right?
That's why I said this. I don't remember the guest I had on it, but we were talking about money that goes to foreign countries and all that, the billions of dollars. I says, okay, fine, do that. Send everybody in America, not just the maybe 40-odd percent that actually pay federal income tax or whatever that number is nowadays. Send everybody an itemized line item that says, your portion of this is $122. Send a check for the whatever fund. And if we did that for every item, and I think people would be like, wait a second, I don't want to do that.
They'd reevaluate.
They would reevaluate it real quickly.
Where's our priority? You know, you have to take care of your home first. If you don't take care of your home and your city and your nation, you're going to be no good to anyone else. Yeah, and I tell the people that in my investing too. Like, they want to take care of their kids, their grandkids. I'm like, the best thing you can do for your kids is not move in with them when you go ready to retire.
Well, yeah.
Because you'd be financially secure, so then you can help them. But if you're, you know, doing nothing but saving for them and not taking care of your own stuff, you're going to be no financial help to them.
Yeah, even on a plane, like if it depressurized and you're up there and the masks come down, they say, put your mask on first. And I equate what we're doing in this country is we're trying to pay other people's mortgage payments when we can't even pay our own mortgage payments. You know, we're doing all that. All right, Glenn, I appreciate it. Glenn Least, folks, and Cody, hey, thanks a lot. Keep working hard.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. More to come. Back in a minute. Finish up with some news items, maybe a comment or two, Olivia.
Yep, you didn't even introduce me. So, hello, everybody. I am here. Anyways, go on with what you were saying.
Olivia is here. I'm exhausted. It's been a long day. It's just crazy stuff, though. I mean, it just might get your mind kind of numb. I do want to give a shout out, though, to we went down to Angela's and your great grandfather's funeral on Tuesday. Served in the Navy, underage veteran, enlisted at 15. I've mentioned this a couple times today. I want to give a shout out to the Patriot Guard Riders. It was incredible.
It was super cool.
They volunteer to help in situations like this. And it was a military procession for Leonard Anderson. His name was and it was for his funeral. And we must have driven about a half an hour where all these motorcycles and
would completely stop the traffic.
Yeah, block the traffic. And they do this. And some of them, talk to a couple of them, some of them have done it for hundreds of services, some thousands, where they volunteer their time to drive through Phoenix traffic, I might add. And we got on the 101 with these folks, with the Patriot Guard Riders. It was incredible. And I my hat's off to them. They did
so good. And I mean, they were volunteers.
Yep. But one experience that was to drive through Phoenix, to honor, Leonard's life and his service. So that was really cool. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Let's see, before we get to our, we've been doing this, it's been kind of a habit lately, Olivia, our crime section, because the crime just seems to be insane out there. But I do want to mention our great sponsor here, Nova Home Loans, and Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. Look, if you're a homeowner and you need cash right now, I really wouldn't resort to using your credit card, because those things are spiking up. And I know people are strapped because this inflation, as Glenn and I were just talking about, Glenn Least, it's spiking, and it's, I think it's going to be here for a long time, perhaps even get a lot worse. But don't resort to using your credit cards. If you're in the position where you've been in your home for a long time and you need to pay off high interest rate credit cards, or there's other situations that's come up, the good news is your home has probably appreciated in value a lot over the past year or two. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she can help you out. She's really great at finding all different kinds of programs. And she's a local girl here in Northern Arizona, but she's backed by Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender. And she's got the experience here in the area. She knows how to find the best loan for your situation. I know because I'm working with her right now. She even does like rural and off-grid properties. So whether you're purchasing or refinancing, call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, 928-310-6458. I lost that. 928-310-6458. Or you can go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. I do have to mention Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK090242, and Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval and terms and conditions may apply. I think actually, Olivia, they added another number set in there for me. Another disclaimer.
Did they really?
Yeah.
How about we just say, there's a disclaimer.
Yeah, there's a big disclaimer. And we need to speed up the voice and everything. But Kim Dawson does a really good job, so I can't speak highly enough of her. Okay, do you want me to take this high-speed chase, or do you want to do it? The one in Valley, north of Williams? So I guess...
I can read it, yeah.
Okay, good, because I'm just going to sit back and listen to the wind howling outside.
The Coconino County Sheriff's Office says...
This is from 3TV, by the way. We need to give them credit.
Okay. Says a man from Cave Creek has been arrested after leading deputies through a wild high-speed chase on Highway 64.
That's north
64, not 46.
Not Highway 46, Highway 64. That's north of Williams heading to the Grand Canyon through Tucson and Valley.
It all started when a deputy noticed that the driver of the Jeep Cherokee. Identified as 32-year-old Christopher Lasita, was speeding along the highway going southbound just after midnight, which is always a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, that's a sign right there.
Yeah, it's like in the middle of the day or something.
Yeah, speeding.
On Saturday, May 7th, was this that? No, that was like last week.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago. It's May 19th right now.
Lasita then reportedly slammed on the brakes and came to a stop in the northbound lanes, which is like, I don't get why you do that. It's like, you're just asking to be caught.
Yeah.
And then he put the car in reverse and started backing up toward the deputy at a dangerous speed, deputy said. What? I don't even get what the goal
I don't know
was
what's
there.
Going through people's heads. I don't know. So they started pursuing the vehicle after that.
They said that then he started going backwards, like driving backwards.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So I don't know what this person was thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
But,
so he sped off, and eventually they caught up with him. I mean, is the long story.
I know, it's
kind
of like just a long chase. Bunch
yeah,
of details,
long chase. How many miles did they say? 70,
80,
60, 80, 80, 80 miles an hour on Highway 64. There's a lot of numbers in there. Anyway, bottom line is you're not going to outrun the cops. This isn't Smokey and the Bandit in the 1970s or whatever that was. So crazy stuff. Another one here out of this is from the Verde Independent out of Verde Valley. It's insanity out there sometimes. I mean, at least we don't have some of the big crime things, but what's this one? Armed robbery with the shovel.
Oh, I don't. Where is that?
You don't have that one? Olivia's freezing up over there. She's like a computer freezing up. Friday the 13th, which is always a good time, around 9 p.m., Cottonwood police officers responded to Walmart for a report of shoplifting in progress. According to a Tuesday news release, store employees reported a person had filled multiple backpacks with merchandise.
And that's why I thought most of the time they don't let people in with backpacks.
That's why you
just
can't
so
do backpacks.
You don't
yeah. You
put
can't,
anything in there.
You can't do backpacks anymore.
Now I found the article.
Yeah,
after
good.
You read
good.
It.
After I read it. Well, thank you. Hey, I got one here on CNBC. A 1955, you don't have this one, 1955 Mercedes. Let me show you the picture here, Olivia, right here. One of those old looking, like almost James Bond looking cars. 1955 Mercedes just nabbed $143 million at auction, making it the most expensive car ever sold.
How much?
$143 million. Could you imagine? I'm going to buy it, and it's wow.
Like, oh, yeah, I just want to buy this very, very expensive car. Yeah, it's like,
right? I mean, unbelievable.
I don't even know why.
I guess just a couple hours ago, and I missed this one earlier in the program, although I think we talked about it, the $40 billion has been approved to go to Ukraine. So there you go. More money going overseas. There was another.
When our country still needs some help.
Yeah, we still need some money. Another bill that passed today. Nine Congress members is from AZ Central. Nine Congress members voted against helping indigent women get, this is their headline, get baby formula. It's deeper than that because I know two of the nine members. I may even know more of them. Two of them were here in Arizona, Congressman Andy Biggs and Congressman Paul Gosar. They voted against the, what they call this thing, the baby bill or whatever. And I look, it's a tough situation out there with this baby formula. And the House of Representatives voted 243-9 to pass the Access to Baby Formula Act. But I think we have to recognize that the government's caused a lot of these problems when it comes to the formula. And we really need to look at these supply chain issues. We really need to look at the regulation, how they shut down that one processing plant for the baby formula. We need to look at what 60% of the country's getting their baby formula through government's hand in some way or fashion. So I will get Gosar and Biggs back on and ask why they voted against the Baby Formula Act. I mean, AZ Central might as well have put a headline of Gosar and Biggs vote against babies, and they don't like puppies too. I know these two, though, and I know it's deeper than that. It probably has to do with adding another layer to the other layers that caused a lot of these problems. So we will, I don't want to put that, those words in their mouth, but I bet you it has something to do with that. It's a disgrace that we can't provide enough food for baby formula. And we're spending $40 billion
to all kinds of other countries.
$40 billion.
Here's what I think it should be. It should be help your own country first. Make sure everything's going good. Yeah, then help the rest of the world.
Olivia's like an America First candidate over there. Anyway, we'd love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I think we have one that I want to get to here before we run out of time, but I do want to mention Kelly Broaddus. And she's someone you've heard here on the program many times. You've also heard Kelly Broaddus from our guests who have used her services. She's top 2% of realtors in the entire nation. And there's a reason for that. She really knows her stuff. You know what? And right now, things are changing. And unless you're in what she calls really these golden areas, you're not going to get the 10 to 12 offers anymore going forward. But Kelly probably gets you a really good offer and a really good price if you're listing your home. It really does matter who you list your home with. And you don't want to talk to anybody or you don't want to put your home on the market without talking to Kelly Broaddus first. You really don't want to talk to anybody else, I can tell you that. But I want you to give Kelly a call right now. I think you'll be impressed with what she can do. 928-606-6749. 928-606-6749. Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors, 928-606-6749. I think that stuff's in the air. I can feel my throat just the yellow, green pollen stuff.
It's definitely
read that last comment. We got like what? We got less than 2 minutes. Read the comment.
This is Nancy Clarkdale. I agree with you. If we have to convince people that men can't get pregnant, we're in trouble. There's an article down here about instead of calling it mothers or pregnant women, it's birthing
person.
So it would be like instead of, so I'm not allowed to say mom anymore. I could just be like, hey, birthing person. Hey, person that gave birth to me.
Oh, it's happy or, birthing
no, no such thing
day.
As Mother's Day
mother's
anymore.
Mother's Day, it's birthing person's day. Yeah, look, Nancy, I started the show with this, and I think the title of today's podcast, which goes up here in just a couple minutes, for this episode and this day, this show, number 1381 will be the podcast. I think we'll go with Men Can't Get Pregnant, period. I think that's basically the title. But it's sad that we even have to have this debate and this discussion at this point.
So we even need to tell people.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, and enough said.
It's so crazy. I didn't think it could get more crazy, but it has, and it will.
All right, weekly roundup tomorrow, busy program. Still a lot of guests coming next week, including more candidates for governor. We're working on Eli Crane, who's running for CD2. I hope you all have a great night, and we'll see you back here tomorrow at 4:06. Take care.